Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, you are listening to Ghostwriter Paranormal Radio in Studio B, live on blogtalkradio.com. I'm John Almada here on our little program, and I have been fighting Blog Talk all for the last 20 minutes. I've been having nothing but fun. I just dropped out again, getting the my main line dial in just screwed up, and I just got it back like 2 seconds before I turned the mixer on. So hello, everyone. We are back here on a somewhat normal schedule now. We're going to be on every Saturday night this time. And hello, my dear Nancy.
Hello.
Yes, and good to see you. How are you doing, my dear?
I'm doing okay now that I've recuperated from all my blueberry-flavored yogurt-covered pretzels that I must have eaten 30 of them. Oh, God. I'm so ashamed of myself, John.
You pigged out on blueberry, what? Blueberry?
They've got these pretzels that are yogurt covered, kind of like an icing. And they had this blueberry yogurt flavor icing. And I love them an awful lot. And I ate at least 30 of them nonstop. And then I was miserable because it felt like there was lead in my tummy. And then I felt guilty because I remember my mother's words, think of the poor people in China. And then I felt bad because I was pigging out and there's people that don't have food. And I made myself twice as miserable. Then I had some hot tea and I started feeling a little bit better. So it's been an experience.
Well, here, let me play the sound effect. So next time you see... You see these blueberry pretzels? I want you to think of this. Here it is.
Yes. Okay. Oh, that's ominous.
And I also loaded, because we have so many references to the frying pan, I think I'll eventually give you access to the
frying pan button.
Control board. Yeah, you're going to have this. Here it is.
Thank you, John. Thank you. Thank you again.
Yeah, so just PM me when you see that I need a frying pan to the head, and I'll just do that. And then I've got I didn't realize how long this one was. I thought it was a shorter. I have sound effects of thunder, but it's a minute 26 seconds, so I don't think we're going to play that one. Anyway, but I thought you'd like the two, you know. What store was this you were at when you got these blueberry things?
Oh, it was this neat little store. It's called Sprouts. And they've got all kinds of good stuff in there. And it's like, you know, a lot of organic stuff and a lot of, you know, their homemade stuff and everything. And I got some Polish sausage, and it was darn good.
Yeah.
And I got, what did I get? I got some raspberries, real blueberries, and real blackberries. That, you know, regular fruit that you can eat. I got some honey kind of tangerines that are really good. Then I found those pretzels, and I just could not help myself.
So
it was
next
bad.
Time, yeah, next time you see Sprouts, just think this, remember.
I know. No, you know, what was really sad is, and I think it's not all my fault, and I will tell you why I don't think it's all my fault. I don't think it's, yes, I committed beriberi. I think that those
beriberi, oh God,
that made those blueberry yogurt covered pretzels, I think they put a secret ingredient in it that makes you addicted to it immediately. So it was, I was out of control. It wasn't my fault. It really wasn't.
I'm hitting you with a frying pan. You've got to stop doing that.
Wait, let me take a break. I'm going to go get a great big heavy-duty pot or pan, and I'm going to whack it with a wooden spoon, and we'll have a pot and pan contest here. Oh, jeez.
I just got like an infinite frying pan here. This is great. It's a virtual one. It's fun. A mom out of control is a dangerous thing, as Special Family Connections is saying here in the audience. I've lost control of my mom.
Yes. Mom's out of control.
You committed beriberi.
I'm committing beriberi. And that's a very bad thing, too.
Oh, dear God.
We're
well,
all
hey.
Yeah, geez.
Oh, dear God. It's been, what, I think it's been a week. So we're kind of back in a normal mode. I moved this off of Friday nights because it was just impossible. I'm doing a bunch of work at my company on every other Friday night. So it's just going to be better just to do it on weekends. And you know what? We always were on Saturdays before. I tried the Friday experiment. It just didn't work out, man. It's a California thing, you know. Anyway, so.
Not enough to get ready for Saturday to make yourself feel like it was going to be a good thing. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know what? A year ago, we had just had my father pass away. And if you guys are looking at the show player page where you came in, you're seeing pictures of my father go by, including one little funny comic thing I just found. I thought that was, you know, this was my happy face. But it has pictures of my father, you know, in his laboratory over at White Sands, and then another shot of him, you know, when he was older, just before he had his stroke. A nice shot of him, real smiling and real happy. And then there was a shot of him in the 70s, my father was an expert in manipulator technology, which it was remote handling of very, very dangerous materials, shall we say, of an explosive nature. And he would use these remote manipulators that could be like an extension of his arms, but it was in a laboratory at a distant site. So he wouldn't be anywhere near it, but he could still pour beakers and do all the stuff he did. So there's a picture of him there actually operating that system. And this show is dedicated to my father, Al Almada. And, Dad, I know you've come through plenty of times from the other side. And so we've seen you, we've felt you, we've heard you rattle the door for the whole year. So, Dad, this one's for you. And so we're going to do some mediumship tonight. I got a 925 area code out there. I think I recognize that number, but I'm not quite sure who it is. I know I've seen it before, though. Audience, we don't have a lot of people out tonight, but you know what? I think I know part of why that is, and I'm going to have to look at some of our show times, because I've got somebody out there. A lot of you know Spencer Hughes from Fox Across America. He is no longer with Fox. They had some kind of dispute with the satellite company or whatever that was providing the venue for the show to play. And so he ended up no longer with Fox. They stopped all that. So he's actually broadcasting right now on at 9 o'clock on Blog Talk. And I've actually been helping him with his show stuff. So we're kind of overlapping a little bit. So I don't know. We're going to have to, him and I'll talk. We're going to do that host stuff. But it's good to see, good to have him back on the air. And he has some really cool stuff. He's doing a show tonight, I think, with a guy named Dave Mace, who's a ghost hunter down in Sacramento. So some good stuff going there. So I'll definitely listen to him on archive if you're over here live with me. But anyway, hey, I forgot to do the co-host thing. Read off who's in the group. Read off the people who are here, my dear.
Okay. We have John, GRI Soulstream, Bright, Drift Reg, Gerber Daisy, JB, me, Debbie at Special Family Connection, Psycho Dan, and Yachtman. And I just would like to say, Debbie had her first BTR talk show this afternoon, and she sounded like a pro, didn't she? She sounded like she'd been doing it for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, she did. She was like a little worried, I mean, because I helped her out. I was a co-host on the show, and then you came in earlier today, and so it was the first time ever, and it was like a 45-minute show. And she was all kind of stressed out, and then she just I just said, hey, just enjoy yourself, you know. And all these people she knew dialed in, so it was like old home week. So she's totally comfortable on the air. She's working through all the little gotchas. She had a few little things happened with the startup of the show, and I assured her that it was normal. And here soon enough, a few hours later, here I am having trouble getting my show going. And so get used to it, Debbie. It's the way it works. So anyway, we're here. We're going to do some pure mediumship. A lot of you know what that's about. We do get calls from people who want to talk about their relationships. And sometimes I will answer questions about that, but a lot of those kind of calls are for psychics. And although psychics and mediums are kind of, you know, it's kind of two sides of the same coin, pure mediumship night is when we talk purely to the other side. We're bringing through those who have passed on to bring them through to connect with those who are here on this side. And so hopefully we'll have a little, we got 9:42, so we're about an hour 45. So we'll hopefully get some more callers in. We're going to start with the 925 area code. We'll just dive right into doing what we do and go for it from there. So I'm going to bring on the 925-er. 925. Okay, you are on the air, 925. What's your name? Where are you from?
I'm Vicky from Brentwood.
Vicky.
Hi.
Have I had you
before? I'm not going to take up the whole show, but I just was curious if you see anybody coming through for me.
Have I had you on before?
Oh, yeah. Black Diamond Mine. Ezra.
What's
Yachtman.
That?
Yachtman.
Oh, yes. Okay, I know. Yeah, I knew that. I knew I'd seen that number before, and I could not place it. I'm like, going, I don't have my regular book in front of me, so I'm going, I've seen that number. So anyone coming
through?
I know,
through? I kept going, it's me, it's me.
All right, Vicky, let's see. Let me do my thing here. You dialed in last week, right?
Uh-huh. One of Ed's relatives came through.
Yeah, the father. It was the father figure?
I believe
one?
So.
Yeah, I had a male presence. And you were looking
I
for a female.
I just had his voice come through, and then I asked you if that was the same voice, and you told me, yeah.
Now, what's funny is, one of the things I can't talk today. Okay, let's go that. Let's just start over. I am out of practice. I meditate every time I do the show. I will meditate for roughly half an hour and kind of get into my contacts on the other side. And it was really funny because one of the things that sometimes I will have spirits that will come through and make their presence known to me ahead of time. And I got, because we had talked, and this is kind of weird that this worked out this way that you called in. like this, because I mean, I remember we talked about a male, the male figure who died in the motorcycle accident, right?
No.
Who
I don't
was
think
it that
so.
Was it you that I was talking about the motorcycle?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, maybe I got that wrong, but here's what I had tonight, and if this doesn't fit you, then it's going to be for somebody else, but anyway, I had this spirit kind of crash through ahead of the rest of the line, and they were kind of pushing that they wanted to get it out there, so I'm just going to give the names and the circumstances by which this passing occurred, and it seems to be recent, you know, I'd say less than 6 months, and this spirit, it's a male, dies in a motorcycle accident. Yeah, so there had been a motorcycle reading I did just recently. So I'm kind of, maybe I'm getting my, I never remember readings too well after I give them. So, you know, pardon my, mm-hmm. my issue there. But this one comes through. It's a motorcycle accident. Male dies 6 months. Name is like either Jerry or Jeremy. And it sounds like that. So Jerry or Jeremy. And is trying to get in touch with, there's a woman on the other side, or on this side, who's named Linda or Lydia. So it's kind of a L-Y name, starts with that, or L-I. So if it doesn't fit you, which I'm almost sure it doesn't,
no.
I know this, that someone is going to listen into this show, and basically the message is, I'm doing okay, don't worry about everything, you know, about me. I passed. It was like he was just trying to get it through that he it was quick, over, done with, and out of there. So I'm just going to honor him by saying, okay, you got through. You got my attention. If this fits anybody in the audience, call in, because I mean, this guy was like totally insisting on coming through. Now for you. And you, I remember when we talked prior that you had a female that you were hoping to hear from, correct?
Yeah, I want to hear from my mom if she was there.
All right. All right. Let me just get set up here. Sorry, I had to get that other out because I remembered the names and all that, it was like, it was just, and the spirit was just like in my face going, will you please do this? I'm like, yes. Ugh. Sometimes they're just really insistent. Okay, so this is mom. Did mom, I'm just going to try to tune into her and see if she's going to come through, because I'm just not certain of what I'm getting here. But was mom living in the vicinity of you when she passed?
What? Oh,
was she living
there,
like near you? I mean, relatively close?
She was stayed over.
Okay, so not close. I mean, was she in Nevada or?
Arizona.
All right. I'm trying not to pick something that's safe because, but she's showing me plants. I mean, I'm seeing. Was this woman like a green thumb gardener person?
No.
I mean, was there something with green?
My grandmother was.
Oh, was she the green one?
My grandmother was.
What's the deal with the plants? I mean, was she like everything she touched bloomed kind of thing?
Yes.
Okay. Was she in California?
No, in Michigan.
Michigan? Okay. So I'm trying to make sense of this whole, what this is about. Seems like your mother is not the one that comes through. I get everybody but your mother. Come on. What is this you're showing me? I'm showing a male presence side to the side of this woman, too. Is grandmother have, like, a brother energy? Is there a brother? Is there, like, an uncle?
Well, I'm not sure if it was my grandmother's brother or my grandfather's brother that lived with them.
Okay, is he passed too? Because that's what I'm getting.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that's two of them coming through together. Now, what's the thing with the plants? Did she ever, I mean, when the family split up, I guess, and moved out here, the circumstances of your mother, did she move all the way out to Arizona and then, or was she out to California and then moved to Arizona? Because I'm needing to settle this.
She lived in California and then moved to Arizona.
Okay, that's all right. So did she come straight from Michigan, from the family homestead there, out to California?
Mm-hmm. No, because I'm an Army brat, so I've been everywhere.
Okay, so she was all over the place and then settled in and then retired out to Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Was your mother, on the subject of plants, was your mother, she would look at a plant and it would die?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is like is this a running joke, family? Again, was it kind of like between your mother and your grandmother, kind of a ha-ha, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
There's just a reference to this. Did you spend time, you knew your grandmother, correct? You actually
My grandma and I were like, we were joined at the hip.
Was there, did she have a small terrier? I don't know why I'm saying this. Did she have a dog? Did she have like a dog,
no.
Like a small, like a terrier? Who has the terrier type dog? Because she's showing me small dog. Did your mother have the dog?
Yeah, my mom always had small dogs.
Okay, so the two of them are, all right, they're going back and forth. So what type of small dog did your mother have, you know, before she passed?
Oh, I don't know what kind she had before she passed, but usually they were they're like little mutts, but.
Yeah, it's like a terrier size, small, you know, okay, so. I'm getting elements of both of them, okay? So they're both coming through. Now, with regard to your mother's passing, and don't tell me how this happened. And thank you for letting me get back into my groove on this, by the way. It's just taking me a while to get into my normal... I'm not locking in on exactly what the cause was, but I know enough that there was a longer illness with this. Was this like a longer passing where it was a disease and it had a progression?
My grandmother, yes.
All right, so
my
grandmother
mom
had
was
the
only like 6 months.
What was your mom's?
My mom had 12 heart attacks in 6 months.
Okay. And they,
her heart would actually jump up and turn.
All right. Well, and what I meant by longer progression was it wasn't like accident 1, 2, 3, they're gone. It's like this is over a period of time. So that, all right, that fits sort of for both of them. And it's kind of not fair, but I mean, what I was saying is it started and then it took, you know, time to run its course and then she did pass. So what I'm getting is elements for both of them. Now, was grandmother's a longer thing with, was it diabetes?
Yeah.
Did she have diabetes?
No, she had cancer.
All right. Well, did your mother have diabetes?
Not that I know of.
Who's got diabetes? Okay, well, the cancer thing, what was the thing with cancer of grandma?
She had cancer of the colon.
All right. Did your grandfather...
Mm-hmm.
Was... There was something with the whole property situation with that. What was the thing with... I'm trying to understand what she's showing me because I want to be sure I get it right. Was grandfather passed ahead of her? I mean, did he go before her?
Is this on my mom's side or my dad's side?
I'm looking at the grandmother we're dealing with. I'm dealing with grandpa.
My grandmother, my mom's side died a week before my grandfather.
Oh, so it was like right at the same time. Within a very short, and I was having trouble locking in. I'm going, well, there's a death, and it's like, I don't know which is which. Okay, so the two of them died like back to back.
Yeah, my grandfather didn't even know he was sick, but he died of cancer too.
So did this create like a whole bunch of trouble with the whole estate and all this others? You know, was there like, did it mess things up? I mean, were people...
Well, between my mom and my mom and her sister, which are the only two siblings, because they never talked after that.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what this is all about. Okay. So they're bringing up real tangible things to prove to you they're around. I mean, so this is a lot of this is just to kind of say he's locking in on the right folks, and they're bringing in through real things that happen. So, I mean, was it just 1, 2, 3? He was like, he didn't even know.
He didn't know.
He just suddenly got sick and was gone. I mean, it was just like overnight. Oh, crap. Well, in hindsight, looking at it, they had been married a very long time then. And, you know, one without the other I've seen this before. I had my aunt and uncle in 2003 died within a month of each other. And long time marriage, you're going on, 48 years. I mean, they just were always in each other's lives from the time, and they'd been around each other for 55 years. I mean, it's just like my dad with my mother, it's the same thing, and my mom's doing really well with, considering it's been a year, but it's been rough.
That's because you're there with her.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, my father, a year ago, a year and 2 days ago, he about 11 hours before he died, he grabbed my arm and pulled me close and looked me right in the eye and said, "You're going to take care of her, right?"
Oh.
What do you say to that? Yes, sir. I'll take care of her, Dad. So, I've been doing that, but it's been a heck of a ride, five surgeries and all that. But back on this thing, generally, when they do this, they're trying to get through. And we had talked last time about the health concern with Ed.
Uh-huh.
And did that get checked into?
Not yet. He's kind of putting it off, but I told him.
It's funny that I'm bringing diabetes out of the blue.
When I went in, on his side, yes. But on my side, both my little sister and I are pre-diabetic. Mm-hmm. But ours will drop low too.
Yeah, you have hypoglycemia. That's when it drops lower. Well, I'd say this. I mean, they're kind of bringing up the whole health thing for a reason. So I mean, it's just we're back on the health thing with both you guys. I mean, first it was Ed, and then you're bringing up your stuff. Let's see if they've got anything else. Did the two of them had your mother. They're siblings with your mother, correct?
One. Sister.
Is it a sister? Sister still alive?
I have no idea.
And that's the one, okay, that's one you don't know where they're at, and they don't talk. They didn't talk afterwards.
No.
All right. Does the sister have children that you know of?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just put it this way, multiple children, correct?
Yes.
Is one passed?
I have no idea.
Okay, well, I'll just go with what I'm kind of getting here. I feel like I'm getting a younger male family member who's passed that's, of recent vintage. Okay, so I'm just going to, you know, I'm trying to, and I'm not sure that it belongs, actually, I'm just going to say, I'm not sure this belongs with you, okay? This could be somebody mm-hmm. else horning in. But what I'm getting is, and this could be this guy again, this gentleman that came through, now I'm trying to remember the name, you know, what was that?
Lydia. Oh, no, that was a lady name.
That was, yeah, Linda or Lydia, and it was Jerry or Jeremy. Yeah, that could be this Jeremy energy. What were the names of the, just the first name of the children with the, do you remember them?
Well, I do have a cousin named Jerry, but it's on my dad's side.
Mm-hmm.
But on my sister, my mom's side, one was Gary and one was Patrick.
And were any of them like motorcycle riders or, you know?
I really don't know. We were only like 5 years old when all that happened.
Right. Well, all I know is that, you know, with regard to this other thing, you know, I'm just going to kind of put that aside because, I mean, we've really got a pretty, I feel pretty good with the reading we're going with, you know, and the talk about the you know, the whole health thing. Your home, they're emphasizing another little issue, and it's not so much an issue, it's actually kind of funny. Your home has stuff going on, right?
Well, the one I'm in at the exact moment, yeah. Well,
okay.
Let's put it this way, both of them do, yeah.
Yeah, so you got, you have two homes that are haunted?
Well, my boat.
Okay, so it's kind of a home.
They visit me there, and then this house definitely is.
Do you know, are you sure that you know all of the spirits that are visiting? Or are you?
No, because they come from everywhere.
Okay, well, let me put it this way. Has there been, I mean, it sounds like you've got the full gamut of stuff going, but has there been a spate of things going missing and things reappearing in odd places?
Oh, yeah, because I'll go looking for something and it won't be there, and then I'll get all hyper and then I'll find it.
Was your mother known for being a practical joker? Was she
no,
kind
it's
of,
kind of like the opposite. I do things to her.
Well,
so maybe she's getting revenge.
It could be. I think there's a certain sense of humor, however twisted, involved here. But I think some of the visitors are family coming through. Who are like, it was grandma? You were close to grandma, so grandma was a bit of a joker with you?
Well,
she
I don't really
just
remember that much. It's just my grandma and I would do everything together. She's the one that, when she passed, my mom and I were on my grandmother's bed. My mom was asleep, and I was just staring at my grandma's picture. And all of a sudden, somebody just patted my knee. And I have always, even from the age of 5 years old, I have to know what it was. So I get up, I check the whole house. I checked under the bed, the closet, walked over, lifted my mom's eye because she was asleep, and said, somebody touched me. And my mom goes, well, how'd they touch you? And I told her, and she just started crying. And she told me that was grandma. And since that day, I've either seen, felt, or heard.
Yeah, that would make sense then. I mean, I just think that part of your haunt, although not all of it, is family members coming through. And my father had this little thing that he did, you know, early on after he passed. You know, he would reach out and grab you. You'd feel a squeeze on the arm. I actually, the one that I remember the most, I had just gone to bed after a show I had done about a month after he passed away. You know, so it was April of last year. And I just finished the show, and I just had laid down. I had just laid down in bed. I wasn't asleep yet. I just turned the light out. Not 5 seconds after I turned the light out, I feel a man's hand reach out onto my right arm and squeeze and just hold it there and then ease off the pressure. And you could feel a presence in the room. And I realized who it was. And it's like, oh, hey, Dad. you know, and it just softly went away. You know, it was just so cool. So yeah, they do that. I mean, they're gonna make their presence known, and that they're part of your life, for, you know, going on until you pass, and they'll be there waiting for you. So I mean, I just feel like it's you know, part of your, you know, that's part of your day to day stuff going on. I do think you've got other things going on in the home, though. There are other spirits. Are you having trouble with? Is there like troublesome spirits there? I mean, you having some trouble? You have weird things.
Well, so far I can basically handle them. I just tell them to stop and back off. And
yeah, are they kind of troublesome, though? I mean, is that the, would that be the word, that they're kind of mischievous?
Yeah, there's supposedly a 16-year-old spirit upstairs is mad because we haven't fixed the upstairs completely. So he's a little upset, but he'll come down. I'll leave the TV on, and he'll come and sit in the chair and watch the old time shows. And every once in a while, it doesn't hurt. I don't feel any pain or anything, but I'll see his like his fist coming and trying to hit me.
Well, I think part of it is you've got some family members kind of keeping an eye on this situation. So these are earthbound, then, is what you're saying. They're earthbound, and they've just really haven't crossed over. You know, or they're, you know, they're just kind of stuck where they're at, and they've chosen to hang out with you. I mean, I saw somebody in the chat room mention that they had stayed, I guess they were like there before you.
Yes.
You know, okay. So they made their presence known as soon as you moved in. You started having all these experiences.
It was funny, though, because like when his parents lived here, never once noticed them, nothing. As soon as we moved in here because his family got another house. The first thing I seen was a presence of a dog coming right up into my face. I'm like, okay. And the next thing I know, I started these other ones.
Huh.
I know there's two males I know for sure. One name is John because I heard him talking. And I did try to set out a recorder, and they turned it off.
Oh, great. That's an experience.
and I know he's like, John. And he goes, he walks, I don't know if he walked over, but the next thing you hear is, stop. And then it went off. It's like, okay.
So it didn't drain the batteries. It just shut the recorder off.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm at my boat, though, after I had my surgery, they played with me. They kept turning my TV on and off until I'd say, leave it on.
Man.
it's like it's kind of nerves other people, but it doesn't nerve me.
Just kind of jumping back towards the reading, there's one final thing, and I don't know what this means. And what is the significance of the seventh of a month or the seventh month?
Me.
Like July. What's that about?
My birthday.
Oh, your birthday's on the seventh?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's
okay.
The last day of July.
Okay, so, so it's July. All right, so that's just basically a reference. I mean, I just saw a big giant seven. You know, just to pop in, and I thought, what the heck is this? So basically reference to just another proof that, you know, they're around, and it's, I think it's just basically a, hey, you know, we're around, you know, when your birthday hits kind of thing. So just, you know, that's just them saying that, hey, we're, you know, we're aware. Is there, I keep seeing travel with you, in particular you. Are you scheduled to do some kind of training travel type thing, or are you going on some travel, you know, in
no.
state?
No.
Is there like I know we're going to do the expedition that we've been talking about to the cemetery, but I'm talking about, is there like a paranormal conference or something you're going to? Or I'm getting the.
I wish, but no.
You're not going anywhere? What about Ed? Because, I mean, I'm getting travel strong with one of you.
No.
Okay, just put it this way. They're showing me this for a reason. for some reason, the travel card is going to hit, and I think it's you, and I think you're going to be the one doing it, and be ready.
Okay.
I think it's in 3 months. I think in the next 3 months, and so when it happens, please let me know.
Oh,
I'm trying to figure out. Yeah, I don't know what that's about, but I think it's going to be something that you. It's not like you have to pay for it or anything. I think it's something that just drops into your lap.
Oh, that
was
great.
Okay, so just be aware and be flexible.
Okay.
I'm not getting much anymore. I think that they kind of are.
Well,
you made my
whole evening.
With the birthday thing too, I thought that was pretty cool that they do that.
I was just so pleased that you got my mom and my grandmother, because I always say my prayer for them.
One last thing, who had the lead foot?
Like for
somebody
what?
Was like speeder tickets, cops.
Oh, I don't know.
One of the two of them were a bit of a fast driver. Let's put it that way. Somebody was making a joke.
Well,
my
grandma did drive, so it would have to have been my mom.
Are you Ed kind of ticket problem?
I do. Well, no, I don't get tickets. I mean, I've had a couple tickets, but I.
Oh, you're the lead foot.
I like to drive a little bit. Not excessively, because I don't want to get tickets, but. Sometimes I get carried away, and all of a sudden I look down and I'm like, oh, we're going to have to drop off.
Okay. What this is another, they're busting your chops. So they're basically telling you, slow it down. You don't want to come over here too much, too fast, right? You don't want to leave Ed hanging. You need to stay here with him. Yeah, there you go. Okay, so they're busting your chops.
One time when I had a surgery where I was hemorrhaging, and they had given me the whatever they knock you out with, but you know the lights as they're wheeling you into the operating room?
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the lights as they're going down the hallway, and all of a sudden I could hear my mom say, not yet, not yet, which told me I wasn't going to die. So it was like, okay, go ahead, do whatever you have to do. I'm cool.
That's good. I like that. Well, you know, basically they're saying not yet, not yet, but you could cross yourself over by mistake if you start pushing the pedal down a little too much. So I think that's the final thing they've got. But God darn, Vicki, this is a pretty cool reading.
Cool. I totally enjoyed it.
All right,
dear. Made my whole evening.
Well, tell you what, you just want to stay on and listen in on the line here, or do you want to just listen in on the regular stream?
On the computer, I'll listen to that because I have to charge his phone.
Okay. Well, thank you for coming on, hon. And I'll I haven't forgotten about us setting up that thing, so I will be in touch, all right?
All right. Thank you. Thank
you,
honey.
You're welcome.
Welcome, honey.
Bye. Bye, honeys.
Bye.
Bye.
See you later. All right, 10:13 here on the west coast of the United States of America, and let's see, we got more people in the chat, and good to see all you who joined in. Yeah, so we've had folks popping in. I've got two callers out there waiting. I've got a 561 and a 207. Tell you what, I need to stretch, so let's just take a moment and first do the thing that we do so well.
Okay. Thank you.
I got to get you one of these. This is too cool. Let's see. Let me find some good music to pop on, and I'm going to stand up and stretch because I've been getting my back worked on. I've been out working out and getting myself in better shape. The other side wants me back on at full power, so I'm doing what they ask me to do. But I'm looking for my music, and I'm still getting used to my. Oh, I think this will be a good one. So we'll bring the 561 caller will bring in roughly 4 minutes. And we'll see you guys here. This is Soulstream on Blog Talk Radio.
cigarette. Last night your church is tall. Find your blessing after all.
Mystical night out here in the Sierra Nevada, and I see. Oh yeah, I saw that Nancy. She PM'd me
okay.
there. Hello, my
right.
dear.
Hello.
Things stretched out. I was so sinful today. I went out and got a 1.5 hour massage on my
yeah.
back. Oh God, it felt so good. And I had Leah on Facebook just calling me every name in the book for even advertising. I had this wonderful pleasure. So Leah, this one's for you. It felt really good, and I like it, and I'm gonna do it again. So.
Hey John, you should try a hot stone massage. See if they have that. That is just, you will die and go to heaven.
Really? So I go get stoned?
No, you don't have to. They get you stoned. What they do is they kind of put, they have these stones sitting in this warm, you know, like this warm thing of a container of warm water. And so they get nice and warm. And they put them on specific points, like all up and down your spine and like on your shoulder blades and stuff. And they let it sit there for a while. And then you get a massage and it kind of like relaxes you, and then you get the massage, and it's just kind of like twice as effective, but it's super, super nice.
So you become a puddle of warm butter, and you cease to exist other than just an organism going, ah, that's what
it's
you're
really
doing.
It's really nice. Yeah. I have like arthritis or something like in my left hand where my thumb hooks onto my hand. And this lady, I always go to her, and she always puts a hot stone there because she knows that, you know, that feels better. And, you know, if you go to someone, you keep going to someone that you like, they get to know you and how your body's changing and you know what's wrong and everything. And if they're good, they pay attention to that sort of stuff and they work with you.
Yeah, that's how it was today. I mean, my therapist is a gal named Whitney, and she's this tall drink of water. You know, she's young and just a beautiful lady and just knows her stuff inside out. Very technically competent, but asks you how you're doing and wants to know all the little things going on with you. And then she just goes to work. And this was like the fifth or sixth time I've gone to her. And I just turned into just butter. I was just like, I came out of there and I was just reeling. I drove home and I'm like, okay, I don't want to do much. I'm happy. So I'm in a great place today. I feel good. My back's good. But when you do sit down here, though, you need to, you know, you'll do a long reading. You need to get up and stretch and crack and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm ready to go. So I'll tell you what, we're going to bring 561. I'll tell you who I see out there that's waiting. 561-207 and then a 916. I see you, the two of you 916s. One of you has your hand up, and I know who the other 916 is now. So anyway, 561, we're going to bring you on SoulStream. What's your name and where are you from?
Hi, this is Linda from West Palm Beach, Florida. How are you?
Hi, Linda.
Hi.
So what can I do for you?
Well, I have some, I want to see if you could connect to the other side.
All right. It's funny that I would get a Linda dialing in. Did you listen to earlier in the show that I had a kind of an insistent spirit before the show?
Yeah, I did hear that.
It doesn't match you, right?
I don't know anybody that just passed.
Okay, no motorcycle accident guys, right?
No.
Yeah, because I don't think it's yours. Okay. All right, so we'll just kind of throw the gates open and see. Getting drunk. Well, I've got two of them fighting for who you've got. I've got a man and a woman, and they seem like they're opposites. In more than one way. I'm going to go with the woman first just to see what I get out of her. Just your family history, just so I know. Are you American, born in America? Because I'm getting like foreign connection. You're born in America?
Yeah. Yes.
All right. What about immediate, like mother? Is mother American, fully born in America?
Yes.
All right. I'm getting a foreign connection, and I'm trying to make sense of this. So I'm going to put that aside because I'm trying to understand who's coming in from Europe. But I don't know what country that is that it's coming in from. But I'm getting is there a family in Europe that you know of?
No, not that I know of.
All right, so you've never had any gun. You haven't flown back and forth and done trips back and forth dealing with family in Europe, correct?
No, I have not.
All right, we'll put that aside then. Florida has been kind of the hub of the family, right?
Excuse me, I didn't hear you.
Florida is your kind of the family hub. Is it sort of that part of the South? Is that you know, is the family
no.
hub? That's where people.
I'm originally from Long Island, New York.
Okay. Is there a Canadian? Because I was jumping all over the place. I know I'm trying to localize in on this. What's the thing with, is there a Canadian connection? Because I was going to say Canada, and I'm going, Europe. I couldn't make sense of which to go with, and I need to trust myself. Did family go to Canada or do stuff in Canada from New York?
No.
All right, I'm striking out 100% on this one. I'm going to just say this. I feel like you've got a family member who did something in Canada, and I'm just, they're bringing it up, and I'm not making sense of it, so I'll just set it aside. I'm not hitting this at all. Let me think of, and there's, but there's two of them coming through. Just trying to place you. Where do you belong, lady? She's just. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to. So you moved down. You moved down to Florida from New York, and
yes.
So family is mostly centered in the New York part of the area, correct?
Because I just right. Want to see Yeah, I have a sister that lives here in Florida. It's just me and her.
All right. So is mother on the other side, or is she still with you here? Because I'm getting female.
No.
Mother is gone? All right. So were you, in as far as New York goes, was it New York City or is it just New York State? I'm trying to really.
Long Island.
Hey, Long Island is near New York. Is that now? I don't know anything about the boroughs of New York or around that area. So, is Brooklyn like near Long Island?
I mean, it's about. I don't really know. No, it's not that close, but.
So it's in the vicinity of, right? Okay, so mom and dad were both in that particular place, you know, when they met. All right.
Yes.
Dad was of Long Island also.
Yes. He was from, I think they both started in the city. I'm not really sure.
All right. Well, dad is passed also.
Yes.
Dad was dad in some kind of trade work, or did he do something with trades? Is he?
Yes. At one time.
What did he do in the trades?
He worked for a machine shop.
Okay, and would it be safe for me to say this? I'm trying to put this in a nice way. Oh, I love the other side. What are you doing this to me for? This is why it's been so difficult with this one, because I'm trying to pin this woman down. And was mom kind of a bit of a pistol?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
she
could be forceful. Would that be the word? Okay. I'm on the right one.
Well, she had a moment. She leveled out as she got older.
Was dad, with regard to her, was it, I almost feel like there's a classic love story between the two of them. It's like classic. Was there deep, deep love going on with the two of them? I mean, it was like they were always, there was always a love. I mean, really deep?
Like a love-hate relationship.
Well, did they stay together all the way through till one of them passed?
Okay. Yes.
They did. And so the love-hate thing, you know, okay, let's put it this way. When they first met, did they ever tell you the story of how they first met? And don't tell me how.
Yes, my mom did tell me how they first met.
Okay, was he pretty romantic? I mean, in his overtures, was he really, did he go like the extra mile to woo her over?
I'm not really sure that part.
Okay.
All I remember is that she told me how they met.
All right, so you really don't know all the stories then?
No, I don't.
Well, let me put it this way. Your dad... The way I'm getting this, your dad was exceptionally tender with her on all of that. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So he's kind of pushing that out there. Was Dad the first one to go?
Yes.
And how did that affect her? Because I'm seeing, like, was it a number of years later that she passed? I feel like there was some time.
About a year later.
All right. What's the his passing was his passing sudden? That's kind of the sense I get of it. Was he sudden?
He committed suicide.
Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
What was going on with, and it affected her deeply then at that point, right?
Yeah. It affected my whole family.
Oh, God. What is the thing with, why would he do that? Because I'm watching, I have the mind lamp here. Do you know why he passed? I mean, what caused it?
Yeah, I know why he did it. He was in a legal problem with my sister, and he was afraid to go to court the next day. So he said it would be better. He was afraid.
Oh my God!
Mm-hmm.
What happened with the sister afterwards?
Would you believe it or not, now I'm living with her daughter because I lost my home. In the summer, I became homeless, so I had to contact my sister, the one that they had this legal problem with, and beg her to help me. And she put me up with her daughter since August, and I've been living with her daughter, and it has not been easy because I don't even see my sister.
Wow.
So I'm trying to get a relationship back.
The thing I'm getting with your father, I mean, that's why I'm bringing up the love thing, because I have a device here in the studio that I use in my readings, and as soon as I was talking about all that, the mind, I use a thing called a mind lamp, and it seems like the other side is able to influence it, and it was a deep pink the whole time we were talking about the two, until you started talking, and it shifted color to an orange color. But it was a deep pink, which is really, that's why I looked at it and went, wow, there's like a real love thing going on. Your mother was then just devastated then by this. You know, to mm-hmm. say the least, correct?
Oh, yes.
Was her passing like a little more, a longer drawn-out thing, you know, over a period of months? You know, like because I feel like a disease process going on.
Well, she had cancer, and she had cancer for 10 years, and finally just caught up with her.
But it really amplified in that last 3 months then, and then, was there like hospice situation and all that?
No, she went within 2 weeks. I mean, I knew she was sick for a long time. But she had to sell her home after he passed away and moved back to New York, and that devastated her.
How was it with, so it was a very clear process. When he crossed, did he leave a note? I mean, they understood why?
We know why he did, because he had to go for a deposition the next morning, and he was really afraid, so...
God, that's bad ones.
He took 90 pills, and he stabbed himself. And he was on the ventilator, that's whatever they call it, for 2 weeks. So, I mean, and then he passed a day before Father's Day. 8 years ago.
Was it a case of there was just no stopping him from passing then? Was it a case of were you keeping him alive on the machines and then he was turned off, or did? Okay, so that's is it a large? I mean, it doesn't sound like you've got a lot of family left, right?
No,
I mean, it just seems like it's there's just a smaller number.
No, there's no connection. There's really no connection with anybody, you know, very little. I have a twin brother who has very little contact. Sisters, very little.
The thing that it comes through clearly, and this is not me being a medium, it's just me being a person, okay? The one thing that I'm hearing so much in what you're looking for is connection to people and mm-hmm. feeling like you've got. Have you been getting grief counseling? Because that's kind of the thing I'm getting. Them on the other side are concerned about this too. They don't want you over there any sooner mm-hmm. than you need to be, okay?
Yeah.
So are you getting that?
No, I mean I don't have any insurance. I don't know who to reach out to. You know, I've been living here since August, and my sister Holly calls me, talks to me, and I know it's because of the situation what happened 8 years ago with my parents. So it's been very hard to reestablish a new relationship with her. Like she doesn't want it to happen.
I understand that to some degree. I have a relationship similar to that, okay? And what I learned was that when something like that happens and you've done everything possible and you can't make that go anymore, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, you've done everything you can, and at a certain point you have to kind of look at that and say, okay, I've done what I can, hand it over to God. You know, essentially,
yeah.
and just walk away from that. But it doesn't put you in a position, you know, I mean, you need tools to be able to work with, being able to form new connections and build a new life, you know, and 8 years is a long time, you know. So, I mean, you know, my worry is, what's that?
It's kind of hard to walk away from the relationship when I'm living with a daughter.
It you can do that, actually. I've got some of the situation I was in where I had proximity to certain of these, there were more than one individual with this issue, and I had to be able to separate and then hold at a distance while conducting the relationship with the one that I was close to. So it's a balancing act, and it can be done, but yes, there's always going to be that little thorn. Now I've got a PM here. Nancy says, one of the listeners says to call Catholic Charities. They can help with counseling and maybe even housing. Have you considered that?
I mean, I've tried. You know, I did not want to live in any halfway house. I've got two kids that went to the back of their father, and I'm trying to get a job and get back on my feet. So, I mean, I'm not used to living with people.
Yeah, but if you deal with the counseling, you know, they might be able to provide some counseling services and things like that. That's the thing that's coming through here. I mean, this is more about getting you the help you need, you know, and getting you pointed the right way to continue the rest of your life. The thing that I'm getting with your father more than anything, your mother's kind of sitting in the background, but your father more comes through here. He doesn't want you doing. Now I'll just come out with it. He's just saying, the way I'm reading this, is that he's saying, don't do in slow motion what I did overnight. Okay? So don't make your whole life a running tragedy because of one thing that I did in a situation that was created, and this is the outfall. There's a lot of regret there, you know, mm-hmm. from especially from his end. And he was there watching and actually feeling terrible about what he had done and realizing mm-hmm. it was a total mistake. But now that the damage is done and all this time has passed, you know, there's some situations that you humanly cannot change. And the only thing you can change is your reaction to it.
She's very mad. She's angry right now because I haven't found a job and she thinks I'm not trying hard enough. And every time I do talk to her on the phone, it's like I can't get any support. You know, it's just, she's just, it's so difficult to deal with her.
Well, you'll have to deal with her in some capacity, but, you know, when somebody's just being a big downer on you, and you're doing everything possible to get a job, especially in this friggin' economy,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're doing your best, right?
Yeah, and her daughter, I'm living with her daughter, and her daughter doesn't even talk to me. She's very nasty to me.
So well, hon, I would say this. If it were me, I would get the counseling. You know, just get somebody to talk to, because you need that.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that I am getting really strongly, though, is were you closer? I know this is, I hate this part of it, but were you pretty close with Dan? Was there a closeness with Dan?
No, my sister, the one that I'm.
Were you closer to mother then?
I was closer to my mother then. My sister was closer to my father than my mother, and I was closer to my mother than my father.
Well, I'm going to stick with my guns then, because your dad is just like really, really worried about you more than anybody. Your dad's sticking close with you. And I'm going to just, you know, that was why I was going, was there like a, you were daddy's girl, so you weren't that particular relationship.
Well, I was the baby. Yeah, I am.
You have two children, you said?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I'm just going to set the children thing aside because he brings up Canada again. Did your dad do military service?
Yes, he was in the military at one point. He got a Purple Heart and everything.
What was his Purple Heart for?
He was wounded in the war.
Which war?
I don't remember which one. Probably
World War II?
Yeah.
World War II.
Yeah.
Did he serve in the European theater?
I'm not really sure.
There's a reason I brought up Europe then. He was in World War II then, and he got a Purple Heart, and you don't know which theater of operations he was in.
No, I don't.
I'm going to give you an assignment.
mm-hmm.
You're going to like this. You need to research your father's unit history. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that. You can find out, you can do some online research and find out more about him. I mean, if you know his basic information, you should be able to get some help finding out more about where he served, because I'm going to make the supposition that your dad did some time over in the European theater. I'm not sure that he would have been Pacific. And I feel like there's some real interesting stories to be found out about his service history. Okay? So I kept getting drawn to Europe for some reason. And for some other reason, I keep getting Canada. And this is why I was doing all this geography stuff to begin with. But I'm going to say this, and I'll just go with it, and hope like hell that you find information that backs this up. But I think that your dad did some sort of stuff did you know exactly, was he like infantry or, what service was he in? Was he Navy or Army or which service was he in?
I think it was the Navy.
Okay, so he's Navy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so he would have been all over the place. If he was in the, there would have been U.S. Navy. You don't know if he was Submariner?
No, I don't. My sister would know all that.
Okay, well, let's put it this way. I feel like there's like a connection with more Atlantic service than there would have been Pacific. And I think there's got to be there's something to do with the European theater of operations. And I feel like he did some sort of training or some sort of work in or around Canada, either passing through Canada, and there was a Canadian connection too. So this is what this stuff is. That's why I kept getting it and trying to figure out where to put it. The Purple Heart, he wants you to know what he got his Purple Heart for, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, there's a reason that, there's a story with this. And what is your heritage? I mean, are you like English, Scottish,
Italian?
Italian.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you have family in Europe? You do. You have family in Europe, right?
My father probably had. My father's family was from Italy.
All right, so there was direct references to family in the old country then, right?
Yeah.
So one generation removed or two?
Two.
Two. So there would be family then that you could research and find out about, right?
Probably, yeah. I mean,
there you go.
I don't know.
So guess what?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got this broken situation here. And yet you can do some research and find out about your other family and develop some new connections, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. You got some interesting people to go meet, you know, and you don't have to you don't have to be on a plane to go meet them. You've got the internet. You can actually
mm-hmm.
do some research and find out and then you know, do some email contacts and develop some new things there. So there's a little bit of hope there. But there's definitely, he was aware of these people. Is there family left beyond your sister and you and, you know, what little remains? You've got the brother. Was there anybody else that you remember that's still alive that has stories or anything that you can go to?
Well, there's six of us left. My parents had seven kids. My brother is gone, but there's six children still left in the family.
Who's the oldest?
My sister Camilla.
And she's the one that you're having the issue with?
No, this is my sister Antoinette.
So Camilla knows quite a bit, right?
Yeah, but I don't talk to Camilla. I haven't spoken to her.
All right. Let's put it this way. You got several things to do. You know, we'll kind of pull it back here because he's basically pointed out that you don't know a lot of the history of your dad. And I kind of get the feeling that the way that he's gone with this is he doesn't want you to be thinking about how he went. He wants you to think about how he lived and then develop the connections with the other family back in Italy. So I knew it was European mm-hmm. something and I couldn't pin it. But the other thing is the getting your counseling to get past
mm-hmm.
this stuff, because you know this isn't what life is supposed to be. You know, I mean, I lost my father after five very difficult, hard years where he actually went insane. You know, for a couple of years there, and we managed at the very end just to get him somewhat, you know, where he was okay because we were chemically managing it, and we were able to go out on good terms and all that. And so I had a lot better ending than you did, you know, but bottom line is though, you know, for your situation, you can turn that, you know, you can
mm-hmm.
take what he's showing you about his life before and make something of that. So, you know, I wouldn't even go talking about it with the rest of the family, you know, just do it on your own and don't say a darn thing. You know, and don't worry about the job thing that you're having to justify to somebody because you're living there. You know, just start building your little nest the way you've been looking for the answers. I can hear that right off the bat with you.
The last few times I spoke to my sister on the phone, she seemed like she's looking for a fight with me, and I think she wants me to get out. You know, her daughter doesn't like me being here. I don't know what else to do, where to go.
Well, this, hon, get in there and get that, go to Catholic Charities. You know, I mean, that's been getting blasted at me on the PM here, big time. And I'm in a full agreement with that. I mean, that it will be very valuable for you to get some of the therapy and, you know, they'll be able to get you people to talk with. And then not only that, you know, they can help you look at the job situation and give you advisement and get you going. So
do you think my instincts are right? My sister wants me to leave, or do you think
she's going
to leave?
Let's put it this way: everything that you're telling me is that there's a hostile relationship going on, and that's not going to change you know, anytime soon. So yes, I think that they're having their issues with you, but your reaction to it is what can change the situation. And if you take these steps, you can get out of it. And then you don't have to go back and be, you know, in a painful thing like that, because that's not good for you. It's not a happy thing.
No.
The Dalai Lama, you know, the Dalai Lama, a very dear friend of mine at work, actually had 3 days alone with the Dalai Lama. And the Dalai Lama and him were talking, and Dalai Lama turns around to my friend and says, you know, Bill, are you happy? And Bill was lucky enough to look at him and think about it a while. He says, yes. And he, you know, and he grabs Bill, the Dalai Lama grabs Bill by the shoulders and pulls him real close eye to eye and says, that's good, because that's what you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be happy. And that's what you are supposed to be. You're supposed to be happy. This is not happy where you're at. Okay?
Yeah.
You want to be happy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I went out last night. The first night I had, that was the best night I had in probably a long, long time. So, I mean, it was just so wonderful to get out.
You were happy getting out, right?
I was out amongst people. I was at a sort of concert. I volunteered my time. I mean, I felt wonderful.
Well, then that's something you know, that you build on, okay? But the human condition is not meant to be miserable. And, you know,
yeah.
And I don't really care what the political correctness crowd says. You know, supposed to be miserable. Screw that. You're supposed to be happy. So go out and do what makes you happy. That's coming from some very wise people I know. Okay? So if that made you happy, go back and do more of that.
Yeah, I would love to continue doing it. But they don't have these functions that often, so I'm just like, I just really had a good time. I didn't even think about what was going on in my own life.
Well, then, you know, keep doing more of that, and guess what happens? Your life changes, and it becomes something that's just amazing, especially when you live for other people, and you're doing things that make them happy, and suddenly you realize you're being carried along by that. That's why I do this show.
Do you see any job coming up for me? Do you see any job coming up for me?
I see jobs coming for you if you do take the steps that you need to and don't perpetuate the situation. Yeah, absolutely. That can't help but happen if you take the steps to get out of a bad situation. If you put energy into, let's put it this way, anything you put energy into will get better and better because you're paying attention to it in a good way. If you're paying attention to it in a bad way and you're putting negative energy into, you know, saying, oh, that person's an SOB or they're terrible and blah, blah, blah. And I hear it in your voice because your emotional tone goes down, you know, and it's a downer. You need to elevate up. And because when I heard you talking about the thing that you're brightening up about, and your voice, your voice changes. And you want to be in that higher energy state. That's where you're supposed to be. So, yes, you'll get the job. You get the job. Because somebody looks at you and goes, hey, this person's high energy. They're happy. They're, you know, I want that person around me, right? You know, so that's the thing you're aiming for.
Hey, John.
Yo.
I'd like to just offer this caller just a little tip that helped me get through some grief. It doesn't cost you anything. I just start writing in a book every single night and just pour out your feelings in your journal every single night. And I have a theory on how this works. I think that the hurt that's in your head and in your heart, when you start writing, it goes down to your shoulder, down your arm, down your hand, and you leave a little bit of that pain on the paper every single time you write. And I guarantee you that it does make you feel better. And you can look back after a couple of months or something and say, oh, my God, I sure don't feel that way anymore. And what I've done since then, every time I have a friend that has lost somebody, I go out and I buy them a journal. to me, it's like giving them the magic drug to, and the magic secret to how to feel better and get through it.
Yes.
So my husband died, it was a long time ago, but my daughter was 6, and I was really upset about a lot of things. And that is one of the things that really helped save me. And that's a, and it doesn't cost anything, and that's why I just wanted to mention it to you. And I, and you do that, you're going to feel better. And that's all I got to say. I'm sorry, John.
Hey, don't be sorry. You're part of the program. And, yeah, that's excellent advice. Yeah.
That's just,
I mean,
person.
It's funny because, I mean, I've been writing about my, I'm writing a book on mediumship, and I was reliving a lot of my dad's stuff, you know, through that. And suddenly I began to see things that I hadn't really considered. So that's absolutely true. I mean, I was able to kind of put some things to in terms of what happened over 30 years, you know, and you could see the whole progression once you stop to think about it. But when you're living day to day, you don't see all that. So yeah, the writing will help a bunch.
So you, well, think that's right. Do you think that the reason why my sister doesn't want a relationship with me is too difficult because of what happened with my father? I mean,
I can't say that. Let's put it this way. Your sister's karma is in a whole different vein. And I'll say this. There's I'm going to just kind of risk it here because that's what I'm getting. Is sister somewhat materialistic?
Yeah.
I mean, is there, okay.
Yeah.
She's
very
trapped
good.
In that. She's trapped in the world of that versus what you're getting, you know, where you're at, where you're feeling the emotion and all that, and you're not so much that way. Okay.
No, not that way.
So, you know, she's in her own world. You can't climb inside her head and figure out all the little things that make her feel the way she is. But the basic, you know, understanding is there. That's what's motivating. So really, you know, don't worry about why she's this and why she's that. It's just look at it and say, what is? And then look at where you're at and go, where do you want to be? You know, and so all this stuff that we've been showing you is to get you out of this state. So, you know, what I'm saying is just, you know, don't wait. Go get the journal. Do that tomorrow. You know, do the research into the unit history for Dad because he's, like, really insistent about this.
Okay.
Mom is around you, okay? Mom is not gone. She's around you. A lot of worry more about you, you know, between the two of them. You're kind of the one they're sticking around more for, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And the final thing I'll do is before we close out and move on to the next call is, I brought up your two children. Is there a sensitivity to the other side that runs in your family that you are aware of? Have there been mediums in the family before that you're aware of or psychic skills?
Not that I know. And they think they always thought I was crazy because I was so much into all this stuff. Although my mother was too.
Have you got is one of your children a girl?
No. I have a girl in spirit. I have two sons.
Okay. Oh, so you had a girl in spirit. All right. So, well, I'll say this. One of the boys then is picking up on the girl, and I think that you have, I think at least one of them is gifted, you know, and how old are they?
I think my youngest son is psychic. My youngest son is going to be 17 in May, and my oldest son is going to be 23 on March 15th.
Did they ever exhibit, when they were younger, did they ever exhibit, like, tendencies to this that you're aware of?
My youngest son always says things to me like, I know what you're thinking, or like he's very intuitive.
Okay. I'm going to talk to him some more about it. That's just another little thing, a little support system there, because basically it's kind of nice to have a medium in the family, you know. But it's just, I kept the thing that's funny is I bring up the little girl, and then she's in spirit. Now, did she pass at birth?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So was it before or after the two boys came on the scene?
She was in the middle.
She's in the middle. So the oldest one, and then the youngest one comes along. Ask them if, you know, ask the youngest one especially if he ever was aware about her beyond just knowing the story, and see what he says. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So just a kind of little side thing here. But, you know, hon, I wish you the best, and thank you for calling in.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, take care. All right. And I'm going to put that on hold. I wish this thing would renew. Come on. Blog Talk has been giving us trouble lately, guys. Let me see if I can get this to go back. Okay, there we go.
Bad Blog Talk.
You know, that was troublesome because I couldn't tell on the beginning of that reading if it was, because I felt like two spirits kind of contending, and I couldn't decide which one was the one trying to step forward the most. And it was really hard. I mean, because I kept getting pulled north, but I'm going, well, north where, you know, and I kept seeing Canadian, you know, and then a European connection, and I'm going, what's this about? And it was like having to really get into it to figure out what the deal was. I strongly feel like the Italian thing is gonna pan out, but I think there's more to the story, with regard to his military service. I think there was more that went on from World War II than I think was ever let on. And I don't understand it. I just don't. Because if I had to guess, either he was stationed in like England, because I felt like an English thing. You know, so I hope we hear back from her because, I, number one, I'm a little worried about her. You know, I mean, I'd like to hear that she's doing okay and takes the advice. And then find out about her dad's unit information, because I feel like heroism. I mean, the guy, I feel like he was a hero. You know, so going out the way he did, that's not what he wants to remember. It's the other things he did, you know, and he was a good dad. So anyway, 11:02 here, and we got 28 minutes remaining. I've got, oh, hey, thanks, guys. Everybody's saying I'm a compassionate guy. I'm a softy. I'm a softy.
Oh, here you are.
I am. And so were you. You were sweet with the thing with the whole thing, the, you know, with the book. And that's a good idea, you know, to write
well,
it out,
you know,
and
what?
Get it out of your system.
I felt so sorry for her because she was also in financial straits. And this is one thing that it's not going to cost her anything. And I can't believe how much it helped me. I just could not believe it helped, how much I had progressed through that. And when I first started writing in it, I thought, I didn't want to write it. I thought it was stupid. And so I just, okay, I'm writing in my book tonight because I was told I had to. So anyway, this is it. And I don't have anything more to say, so good night. And I slam it. And, you know, for the first couple of nights, I talked to myself that way, you know. But then as time went on, I wrote a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, till I was pouring my heart out. Till I would not want anybody to read that. I went back and read it after about a year. I went, oh, my God. And I took it. I knew I didn't need it any longer. And I wanted those pie tins. I took it out in my backyard. I set it on fire and burned it down to ashes and buried the ashes in the backyard, and then that was it, and it was like full circle. It was over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That works. I unfortunately for me, for my novel, I'm not going to bear burn it.
No, but in
myself, but you know, I know what you did that for, because you're releasing it. You're getting it out into the universe and just trying to transmute it into something beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, but I just I can't recommend high enough writing, especially when you want to, you know, you want to get, you know, emotions on paper, and it just does something. It's therapeutic in some way. I've never understood that. How it works,
you're not being judged about how you're spelling. You're not being judged on grammar. You're not being judged about punctuation. You're just writing. This is your writing. It's private. It's only for you, you know? And so you can be free about it. And it is very therapeutic. I really, really believe that. And it's inexpensive. And another thing that poor woman needs to, and you hit on it too, about just all this negativity, but it seems like she's buried in it. She's surrounded by it. And sometimes you just have to say, okay, they're that way, I'm this way, and so be it. And
yeah.
I'm going to bond. You know, you don't have to worry about them. You don't have to think about getting back together with them or anything like that. If it happens, it'll happen on its own, not because you're wishing for it.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, buying into the negativity. I mean, if you get surrounded by it enough, you'll buy into it. And you just let it go. You know, sometimes it's the easiest thing just to park it. You know, it was like when my dad was in such bad shape and some of the things that were being said. I mean, I would come home at night and there would be like, I would have to put stainless steel in because I knew what was coming. And you would just go, it's not him, it's the disease, you know, and things would be said. And you just were like, you know, I would be walking around and just devastated. And finally I realized this isn't him, it's this thing that happened, and I could put that aside. And it was actually a valuable skill to learn that you could do that. You could compartmentalize it and put it away. And finally I just realized it wasn't even bothering me anymore. You know, I could look at him and go, yeah, okay, that's what you're saying, cool. I still love you, but, you know, I'm going to go on and make coffee now.
Yeah.
And it really got to him, actually, a couple of times. He freaked out. But after a while, it kind of, you just, it was like taking bullets away from a baby and go, he'd just look at me and just go, I go off. And, you know, and it worked out. But, well, hey, you know what? We've got a 916 caller. I don't know. I think I recognize this number. It could be a special family connection person, but I might be wrong. So we're going to do this. We're going to bring 916er on. 916, okay. You're on SoulStream. What's your name? Where are you from?
Oh, my name is Debbie Wells, and I happen to be a friend of yours.
Like,
hi, Debbie.
You would dial in.
Hi, Nancy. I thought I'd pay you guys back for being on my show today.
So this is revenge.
No, it's a thank you. It was so nice having you, and it made that step so much easier for me. I appreciate it so much.
You were so confident sounding. You just sounded really, really good, you know.
It was
really.
All the beer I drank before the show.
Was that it?
You didn't sound soft.
Happens
on
every
you.
Time.
Go ahead, John.
For those of you who don't know, I mean, Debbie's got this program called Special Family Connection, and it's a program that's going to – the first show was today, and what she's doing is it's a show for special needs families, you know, so she'll be talking about all sorts of different topics, you know, related to that and, you know, inviting callers on, and it's kind of a community thing. So it's really there to help people who are dealing with the day-to-day issues, you know, that are surrounded by that. So – she's just launching it now, and she drank a lot of beer to get through today. And
no, it's intravenous. I can't drink it, so I just had it, you know, put directly in my veins. That worked really well.
Oh, the IV station.
No, I asked John to come on as my co-host because John and I kind of have this running thing that we tell each other. We've been friends for a long time, and we like the same things and talk well and mix it well. And the thing that we do is we seem to bring each other a peacefulness when we're around each other. We just kind of calm down and mellow out, and it's like all is right with the world. We don't have to even meditate. It just all just brings it all into perspective, and there's the, you know, it's just all so having him on the show just kind of brought me down. It's like, okay, John's here, everything's gonna be okay. So,
and it worked.
No, there's a frying
pan.
There's a frying pan. Did you make that sound yourself, you stinker? Did you make that yourself? Did you probably did?
Hitting a pan.
It's a great sound. It's got a great tone to it.
Yeah, and the new intro.
I think it's the key of C or D, right?
It's the key of aluminum.
The key of aluminum.
It's a special Teflon edition.
Oh, is it? I thought, is it green? Is it one of those green ones?
It's a traditional
obviously
iron skillet with Teflon coating on the outside. It sounds like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
Well,
yes.
John told
that was my noggin.
John told the story last week about how he hadn't seen Tangled, and so I brought my DVD up, and him and his mom and I watched it, and God, we laughed so hard. I'd seen it several times, but watching it fresh with two people who hadn't seen it before made me laugh at everything all over again. So he's been into the frying pan thing ever since.
I know.
You know, it's funny. One of the scenes there at the end where they had, you know, the traditional thing where they'll have a bunch of guys facing each other in a line with swords, and they had in that one, Entangled, they had the guys with frying pans instead. So if I ever get married again, I'm going to have a frying pan line.
John's going to have a 21 frying pan. John's going to have a 21 frying pan salute when he gets married.
I got to tell that story, Debbie. You know the one I'm talking about with my dad?
Yeah, tell it, please.
God. I got it. We haven't had my father's service yet. So we were talking the other day, it was like on the day of his passing. I was talking with someone, and I don't remember what, but we were talking about some things related to that. And suddenly I remembered that his time in the Army, he did his basic training at Fort Ord, and Fort Ord is no longer an active base, but, you know, it's been turned into some other thing. But back then, my father was under a sergeant named Sergeant Falby, and he was seriously insane. But and my father actually had, I think, for those of you who know what an Article 15 is, my father had 57 of them, which are basically non-judicial punishment. He had, because my father could be a smartass, and he was really good at it. And
any of that from your dad?
No, not a bit. But he went out on maneuvers, and they were in a desert training scenario, and then they were evolving up into the mountains. So the desert ran right up to these mountains that they were training at. And so they were out on maneuvers, and they bivouacked out, and it started raining. So it was driving rain, and my father had to go to the bathroom. So he just goes out and finds a tree and does his business, which wasn't number one. And he does his business, and he gets back to his tent, and the next morning the sergeant's walking around and sees this glorious gift. So they call all the whole platoon around to look at this thing, and the sergeant says, "Who did this?" And no one's copping because, you know, my father was looking at it going, if I say who did it, I'm going to eat it. So no one copped to this. So the sergeant goes, I am going to have you all build a coffin for this, and we're going to have a full military funeral. And so they buried this divot in a coffin. So out on the outskirts of this area they were training in, they built this coffin. They had to dig a 6-foot hole for it. They had a full military funeral, and they had a 21-gun salute for this thing. And it just occurred to me the other day, you know, it's like I was thinking about my father and not having a service, and suddenly I remembered, hey, wait a minute, we've already had the service. He had it while he was still alive.
It was so funny because I was just having a quiet morning Saturday morning, and John calls me up out of the blue and tells me this story, and I laughed all day long.
Funny.
I don't know if there's a gravestone or anything for it, but yeah, it's like, my dad's already had a piece of him just buried someplace. And
great funeral for number two.
Oh, my God. I came home and my mother was sitting there all moping, you know, and I go, Mom, remember this thing that he did? And I go, she goes, yeah. I go, well, we've already had the funeral. She's doing the butt stuff. She's looking at me going, only you would think of that. And I'm going, well, it makes sense. We don't have to spend, you know.
She's going, we don't have to spend.
we're gonna have a service for him. I think later in the summer this year we're gonna rent a hall and then have some people out to talk about it, you know, with him and everything that went on and the good things in his life. And he did some amazing stuff, but I just, only my father would do a thing like that. And he had his funeral before he died.
Save up all your good stories, John.
Oh my God. Yeah, he was good at getting into trouble. My father could be really good at that, you know. But of course, Amy, I told you guys a story about, you know, him burning up the driveway and making his own fireworks and all that. So, fun guy, you know, vaporizing buildings, you know. And
if he was still alive, he'd be hooking explosives up to your omnipotcopters and blow, you know, having them drop somewhere on the property and blowing things up.
He did that stuff out in that one lab where they took a bunch of rubber gloves and they anodized the inside of the gloves with a reflective material. It was kind of like a mylar, gaseous mylar or something, and it would and so they got helium and put it into all these balloons, and then they taped the fingers down except for the middle finger, and so they had a whole bunch of these in a big giant. They just inflated just a load of these things. And they took them out, and the flight line going over from the company I'm at to Nather Air Force Base, which, you know, is no longer, it's now a commercial facility. But they used to fly nuclear training missions in and out. So they would fly in with these B-52s right over. And when I started with the company, that was still going on. But they went out there and, because they had a running thing with the Air Force. It was always kind of a cantankerous relationship between our facility and theirs. So they flew these things right out, you know. And, of course, you know, it showed up like this bright blip on the radar. So, you know, they sent up a fighter jet to go take a look at this. And here the pilot's reporting that, sir, there's these balloons, and they're flipping us off. And they never found out who did that. And I swear my father would never do a thing like that, ever.
No.
Could never have done that. He was good. I don't know. But
You've got some great stories. I'm looking at that picture you have of him that was taken about in the 70s and thinking about him, that smile he's got on makes him kind of look like he's been up to something.
Yeah, although I got even with him a number of times. He used to say what a tough guy he was, and then we would all go out fishing, and he would go lay on the bank and just sit there with his mouth open sleeping. And I think my fondest memory was, and him and I were, I had to be sort of perfect for him. For quite a while, we had a somewhat dicey relationship because he wanted me to be little Mr. Perfect. And I was about 16, I remember, and I was fishing up in the Sierra Nevadas, and we were at a place called Last Chance Creek. And I hit a really good rainbow trout. It was about a 13-inch rainbow. And everybody in our family has a different style of getting the fish out, you know. Some of them, you know, play the fish and do this. Me, I horse the sucker out, man. I hook. If it's a good hook, I yank that sucker out. I don't want to lose it. I'm getting dinner, by God. I don't catch and release. I eat the damn fish, right? So I hit this fish, and I thought I could horse him out. Well, it ended up, I got him out of the water, and this fish goes sailing around me, you know, counterclockwise. So I got it out of the creek, and then it came sailing up, and it came around the corner around my backside. And there's my dad laying on the bank. And it hit my father right in the face, and he grabbed his face, and he's got this wriggling fish in his face, so he can't let go of it. And he's sitting there screaming, and he's got a face full of fish goo.
Oh, what a visual. Oh, my God.
And the best part was, like, he was managed to catch the fish for me. It was so cool. I got the fish.
Did you thank him?
Oh, yeah. And he's going, you stupid son
Hang
of a...
Hang on to that fish, Dad.
I can just imagine the
I'm laughing at him. I'm sorry.
It's a flying fish. It's a flying fish.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
That
hurts.
You know what? I never thought about this. He had a bad back, too. His back would go out just the same as mine. I just suddenly realized that because I remember some of the things, because his back went out right after that. Because he jumped up and his back went out. So he had the fish, and he kept the fish, and his back was out, and he was mad at me. So, you know, I got it. That was good. I think my favorite one of him was when we had the property up in Paradise, and I was coming up from my grandfather's place, and we had an old shack that we used to throw rocks at. It was an old rusted shack, and I would throw rocks at it with my cousin Bill, and we never really knew what was in it because it was always locked, you know. Well, come to find out that my uncle Jaffe, who had, you know, had owned the property before we inherited it, was an old miner.
Well, oh, it was explosive.
It was full of dynamite. And it was sweating. And it was old stuff, so it was really unstable. It could have blown to kingdom come, and yes. I would have been on the other side, and you never would have met me. And so my father finds this out, and he opens it up and looks at it and goes, oh, I could take care of this. I'm a scientist. I know, and I handle high-energy materials. So I come up there, and he's throwing these sticks that look like road flares into a fire. And I walk to him, and I go, yeah, I go up to him, and I go, Dad, what are you doing? And he goes, I'm burning dynamite. He's looking all real casual about it. And he throws another stick on the fire, and I'm like going backing off. And whenever I dealt with my father in his labs or anything, he would always just go, why are you backing away? If it goes off, you're going to die, so what's the problem?
That's a reasonable logic.
Oh, man. I mean, he was out there. But you know, he just was throwing this stuff in, and he's going, this is the safest way. He goes, trust me, it works. And I'm like, going, yeah, I'll trust you. I'm getting about 1,000 feet away from this, you know. And he's looking at me going, what's your problem, you know. So I never forgot that about him, though. He was just so casual and confident in his knowledge.
Did it burn, John, or did it blow up or what when he threw it in the fire?
No, you know, his expertise was unquestioned. I mean, he was very well known for handling really dicey situations. He was the go-to guy for when they had problems. You would get into it. You would have a runaway reaction. Different things would go wrong out there in the field, and they would bring him in. And he could look at the chemistry and kind of on the fly come up with a plan and deal with it, and did it many, many times. And I was surprised that we got through all the way to him getting this old and still being around, because a lot of the people that we grew up with didn't make it. You know, they had accidents or they were dirty chemists, you know. One of the things is that the safety procedures that were developed, you know, throughout the 50s, 60s, 70s, you really needed to follow them to handle some of this stuff. And a lot of these guys didn't. They were real dirty. They didn't care about the safety procedures, and so they all didn't make it to old age. Let's put it that way. So my father was one of the last of the old crew to go, and it's because he was such a safe chemist. You know, he was really into that, and he kept a lot of people alive because he saw a lot of the things that happened in the 60s, especially when it was so dangerous to work with this stuff. You know, we had a lot of guys that were handling materials by hand. And they got into robotics. And if you're looking at the pictures rolling by on the screenshots, I talked about the manipulators. That's one of the things that you use. You could remotely handle these materials and do the things you needed to do without getting killed. You know, important safety tip here. Because, I mean, getting into orbit is there's a lot of energy in this stuff. You know what I mean? When it burns, it's it's really, really, really hot, and it does things, and it could blow up. And yeah, so yeah, the one time he got blown up, I saw him. It was 16. I was 16 years old, and I went into the hospital to see him. He had been picked up and thrown 50 feet in a lab blast, and it set him on fire, and it burned his safety glasses to his face, and he had an injury in his eyeballs that was really caused by that, and it changed his way that he could see. You know, for 20 years it took to recover from that. But he grabs me, you know, while we're in the hospital, and says, you want to be a chemical engineer, right? And I go, yeah. And he goes, no, you want to be in computers. So my life changed because of that accident. And my father was right. Yeah, I did the one thing he asked me to do, which was go into computers. And he said, you want to do that instead. You're more cut out for that. So I went into computing instead. And then I never dreamed I'd end up in the same company. You know, and for a time, our careers overlapped before he went out with heart trouble. So, yeah, I love him. I love you, Pop. Thanks for being my father. I like talking about him. And I know I bore you guys to death with the stories about this, but, you know, he's amazing. You love it?
Mm-hmm, I do.
Yeah. How many other guys do you know that their father vaporized buildings and threw dynamite in fires?
And I totally believe it because that's something that you would do if you had the wherewithal.
I think it would be fun
to vaporize something. It would be kind of like Marvin Martian, kind of just, you know, it's in the way, it's obstructing my view of something, so let's just blow it up.
I will admit to occasionally experimenting with certain things. Usually, we did some things in the chemistry class with propane and certain sized coffee cans.
You
could really get a hell of a bang out of those things. Let me tell you, it was a lot of fun. Yeah,
when your dad threw the dynamite into the fire, it did not blow up, did it?
No. He's sitting there just tossing them in, and the way he tossed them, because he did explain that to me, he says, I don't just throw them in hard. I just kind of give them a light little, you just kind of ease them in. And they fell just a couple of, you know, maybe a foot. And he said that you don't want to toss it down with a big hard knot. You just throw it in and let it catch and it takes off. And he was just feeding them in at this constant rate, you know, and you stand back and wait for them to really get going. Then you throw another one in. And he went through
because
the whole pile.
Dynamite I was asking you this for a reason because it was my understanding that dynamite, if you just throw it into or put it in or light it on fire, it's not going to blow up. But
yeah, that's it.
If it feels a concussion,
a really jar,
that will set it off.
Yeah, that's why you have blasting caps because that does the explosive thing. So
yeah,
what he was doing with the burning, it was just a slow combustion of that stuff, and it was totally safe, and he knew that. You know, but I think the most impressive thing he ever showed me, though, was when we were actually in an evacuation zone in the Roseville train disaster in the 1970s. And our house was actually heavily damaged by that. We were only like a mile from this munitions train that blew up. And so we were all evacuated. And he took me up. He had special certifications that he carried in his wallet. And he took me up to where the bridge was, where we could see it from a distance. And CHP, he walks up to CHP and showed his identification, and they brought us right up to see, and CHP handed me a pair of binoculars. And I watched an entire boxcar lift up and actually go up about 50 feet in the air and then rip apart from 500-pound mm-hmm. bombs going off. And mm-hmm. that impressed the hell out of me. I mean, I'm going, wow. This is serious stuff. And my dad says, this is the stuff we work on, you know. Yeah, that's about right. You know, he was solely non-faced. You know, so.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it was a great growing up experience, you know, hanging around with crazy people. Anyway, you know what? We're coming up on the end of it, my friends. Let's see. What do we got going on here? We got Boo Boo 714. I had to read that twice again. Boo Boo 714. We've got Bright, Castle 407, Gerber Days ETM. She thinks I'm a goofy guy. Guess 1, 2, 3. Heavenly Heathen, hello. JB34, Nancy Mum, hello, my co-host. Special Family Connection. She's on here, too. Supernatural Radio. And Vaiku Dan, my dear friend Dan up there. Ed, Yachtman, good to see you. And thank you all for being on. We're going to be on next week. I think we'll be, you know what? I think it's time to do EVPs again, huh? Should we do some on-air EVP next week?
That would be fun.
All right, let's do some on-air EVP. We'll do some of that and some mediumship next week. Had a good time tonight. Let me think of anything else. You guys got anything coming up?
No. I have a boring life.
You can hang out with me then. I'm boring too. Okay,
and I'll hang out with Debbie too.
Either one of us is boring, so come hang out with us.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, we had a good show. It's good to be back in the seat doing regular stuff. We got about 10 seconds on the stream, so thank you all. This is Soulstream signing off. We'll run a little bit over into the archive, so we'll just kind of have some fun chat. And thanks a lot, everybody. We love you. Bye now.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Okay, we're off stream.
Woo-hoo.
And there goes the chat room. Hey, guys, thanks a lot for calling in on this.
Hey, that was cool.
So it's good
I almost hesitated.
Show.
He's been having to talk to me way too much lately.
No, you I never hear from you at all. You just kind of hard to get hold of there, Pedro.
We talk almost every single day.
I talk
day.
Funny, yeah. It's just, so I'm making her laugh now.
You always make me laugh.
Oh, she almost snorted.
I almost did, yeah.
I caught the beginning of the snort, and then you caught it. That's good. That's
see,
exceptional
muscle
control.
See, now if you can make
control.
Me snort, that's great.
My aunt used to snort when she laughed. Oh. We would just laugh even harder.
I got family members that would do that. And you're just sitting there looking at him like, what the hell's wrong with you? Yeah, and just is awful. I mean, just and then they make themselves laugh harder.
It makes me laugh because my grandson's been playing Angry Birds a lot, and the little pigs in Angry Birds make this snorting sound, and we'll be sitting just around in a circle with no noise whatsoever, and all of a sudden one of them will go. That's hilarious.
I've never played Angry Birds. I looked at it and I thought, what is the point of this game? Why are these birds angry? What's their problem?
They're angry because the pig stole their egg.